are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, November the 29th, and Black Friday. How about the Pistons? Get it done tonight against Charlotte. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast during this holiday season. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving, enjoying some time with friends and family, and of course, enjoying the Detroit Lions. Hard to believe that they lost on Thanksgiving. Hard to believe that I put out a tweet saying that they should take away the Thanksgiving game from Detroit. It was surprised that some people clapped back at me saying, man, this is a big tradition. I don't know. It's funny to me that there's still Lions fans out there that hold this thing dear and near to their hearts. It's hard to believe. I went joke style on the Lions quite a few years ago, and I just kind of treat it as entertainment, and I got to tell you, it makes it more enjoyable. I would recommend it. I would stop putting emotional energy into that team. But speaking of teams that you might not want to put emotional energy into, let's talk about the Detroit Pistons. Today we're going to run down the Charlotte game from Wednesday night, another road embarrassment from this franchise. I'll give me my three big thoughts from this one. We're also going to look ahead to the rematch, the long-awaited two-day rematch between the Charlotte Hornets and Detroit Pistons. We'll also talk about the San Antonio Spurs, who are coming to Detroit for a late matinee on Sunday afternoon. A couple of winnable games for the Pistons. Not a lot of high hopes from this guy. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons dropped another one on Wednesday, 102-101 to the Charlotte Hornets, the great Charlotte Hornets. If you're a Pistons fan and you watch just their games, you might think that this is like the world's best team, as they have now beaten the Pistons 8 straight times. The Pistons dropped to 1-9 on the road. That is a tell for me. And we're not out there playing the 97 Bulls on the road. That's 2 losses on the road to Charlotte. That is 2 losses on the road to the damn Chicago Bulls. And 1 loss to the Washington Wizards as well. So that to me is a tell. That says you have a soft basketball team if you can't win on the road. It's been true since they started playing basketball, and it will be true since this game ends someday. But the Pistons, they did get the win on the first game of the season on the road in Indiana, have lost 9 straight since then. And since Orlando got themselves a win on the road on Wednesday, their first win in Cleveland, the Pistons at 1-9 on the road now have the worst road record in the NBA. I'm a little bit more concerned about the fact that the Pistons are now 2-5 against bad teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think personally that will be the first sentence of the obituary for this season, barring a big retool or maybe big trade come February, which will become the course change. That might be the first sentence of the obituary. But for right now, the obituary that I'm writing for this season is the Detroit Pistons' inability to take care of business against crap teams kept them from advancing to the playoffs for the second straight season, as a franchise stuck in the NBA's middle continues to barely exist on the national stage or whatever. We're workshopping that lead. But anyway, that's what I've got for the obituary of this team for this season. Again, we're not closing the book on this year right now. Detroit is now 6-12, 11th place in the Eastern Conference, still just a game and a half out of the 8th place, the 8th seed, that is Orlando right now. But in between Detroit and Orlando is Washington and Charlotte. They can flip-flop back ahead of Charlotte tonight by breaking this horrific streak against them and getting back into the 10th spot and then looking ahead after that. But we all know the Pistons are playing the soft part of their schedule right now and are 6-12, and things are going to be tougher come 2020, come particularly after the All-Star break when important games are going to need to be played. And this is when the Pistons need to be in the playoffs comfortably and building a little bit of a cushion. And that is obviously not happening right now. Pistons just two games out of the absolute cellar in the Eastern Conference last place, which is now occupied by the lowly New York Knicks and Atlanta Hawks. But the Pistons just two games ahead of them. Three winnable games afoot here in the next few days. Tonight at LCA against the Hornets. Once again, the nightmare continues against Jamie Borrego and the Charlotte Hornets. Sunday, 5 o'clock, the San Antonio Spurs are in town. We'll talk about them a little bit more later. Tuesday, the Pistons will be at Cleveland to take on John Beilein and the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers, who at least are playing hard, at least a team that Cleveland fans can be proud of, unlike the Detroit Pistons right now. And talking about those playoff chances, by the way, 538.com, I went and checked the Raptor projections, the predictions for the rest of the season this morning. And we did talk about how the Raptor projections are a little bit biased against the Pistons, a little bit biased against big men, which obviously is, you know, an important thing to think about when looking at these kind of things. And we know that the Pistons are obviously leaning on the big men, with their two best players being front court guys and Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. But right now, the Pistons are projected to finish 32-50, according to 538.com, with a 22% chance of making the playoffs. That 32-50 mark has them tied with the Washington Wizards for ninth place in the Eastern Conference, really just one spot out, with, I believe, Brooklyn being the eighth place team in the projection, and the Orlando Magic being the, all the way up to the seventh place team. Magic finishing 41-41. Exactly even. They must be really pleased with their defensive numbers and not paying a lot of attention to what's going on offensively with them. But Brooklyn at 39-43, a comfortable seven games ahead of the Detroit Pistons for that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. It's an uphill climb. And like I said, right now, if you had to pin me down on it, I would say the Pistons will not make the playoffs this season. But certainly leaving open the possibility that the East is just so bad and the Pistons could possibly turn things around at some point. No need to freak out at this point and slam the door or anything like that. Certainly be thinking about trade possibilities as December 15th approaches, basically the unofficial opening of trade season, with the players signed this past summer being available for trades starting on December 15th. But certainly as things get hot and heavy mid to late January, that the Pistons really think about turning this thing around and looking ahead to the future. Or, you know, possibly exploring the DeMar DeRozan type of trade. We talked about that on Wednesday's show. I would encourage you to listen to that. I would say you should explore it as long as you're not giving away big future pieces in the form of like a Sekou Doumbouya, a Luke Kennard, or any first-round picks, unless it's heavily, heavily protected. Keep them outside of the top 20, things like that, and then they matriculate downward to becoming second-round picks after that. But some details from Wednesday, 102-101. Blake Griffin had 26 points in the loss for the Pistons in 31 minutes, 6 rebounds for him. Andre Drummond played a lot of minutes, 38 of them, 14 points, 21 rebounds, 7 assists for the big man in this one, 16 points for Luke Kennard, 10 for Langston Galloway as his strong season continues, 13 points for Derrick Rose, but a dreadful game for D-Rose, 6 of 15 from the field. The turnovers for the Pistons, very good. Only 8 turnovers all game. 4 of them by Andre Drummond, including a big one late as he tried to take the ball up the court. With about 2 minutes left, and Terry Rozier, I got some of the Andre defenders on Twitter talking about how nobody communicated to him that Terry Rozier was sneaking up from behind him. Watch the tape, man. He's right in his full view. He tried to cross him over. He didn't sneak up on him. He's right in front of him. There's no way you shouldn't be able to see him. But anyway, 102 points given up defensively by the Pistons. Obviously, that's a problem. Bismack Biyombo, the great Bismack, with 19. 17 for P.J. Washington. The list goes on. Devontae Graham, 16. Miles Bridges, 15. Terry Rozier, 12. Nick Batum with 13. I mean, these guys are punchlines, these names that I'm throwing out there that are schooling the Pistons' pathetic defense. And then we know that Derrick Rose in the final possession, as he did throughout much of this game, dribbled the clock out and maybe looked like he was more interested in Charlotte getting the win here. The inbound fiascos, Dwayne Casey's got to shoulder some of the blame for that, of course. And then finally get the ball in with 7 seconds left to Derrick Rose, and he commits a boner like you can't imagine. This is the second straight game in Charlotte where Derrick Rose has the ball in his hands in the final possession, and the Pistons don't even get a shot up. So unbelievable as he's passing the ball to Luke Kennard as the buzzer goes off. Yeah, so I mean, I'll talk a little bit more about that, but I've got my three big things coming from Wednesday's game. And that's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later, we'll talk about the Hornets again. And tonight, the Pistons got them. And then Sunday's opponent, the San Antonio Spurs, coming to town with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. Should be a lot of chatter around those two guys. But let's talk important things, starting with the least important ones. The rotation, a little bit of talk on that. Christian Wood on the road, not as good, as I often point out here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. 4 points and 4 rebounds in 10 minutes. Not bad, but definitely not home C. Wood that we're used to at Little Caesars Arena. Let's see if he can put together a big weekend this weekend, as Detroit needs him to be kind of an X factor in this one. Thon gets the DNP. Good to see, along with Tim Frazier. You guys won that one, Dwayne Casey. Been listening to you guys, and sits down Thon and Tim Frazier, public enemy number one and number two for the Detroit Pistons. No doubt the reason that this team is losing is Thon Maker and Tim Frazier. More Svi Mykhailiuk, though, huh? What about we see that? Big game on Monday. Svi only gets 13 minutes of action in this one. Tony Snell working back is into the rotation as well, getting 20 minutes. Scoreless from Tony Snell, one of those games where it's like, oh, yeah, Tony Snell has been out there for 20 minutes and nobody noticed. So that's not a compliment when I say that about Tony Snell. Quiet assassin, but sometimes he's just quiet. And so the next most important thing, and we've talked about it before, if you've watched the Pistons, it's been glaringly obvious about too many turnovers. And obviously mostly from Andre Drummond and Derrick Rose, the two biggest contributors to that. I'll throw in the dumb fouls for Andre Drummond, just boners for him right now. Something we've seen in 8 seasons and we'll expect to see throughout his career, whether he's in a Pistons uniform or not. 3.9 turnovers per game for Andre Drummond, 7th most in the NBA. Tied for 5th in the NBA in total turnovers with 71. Not really all that important. I'm more concerned about per game, obviously. And maybe an argument could be made that per 36 minutes is even a better indicative stat about where he's at. And he's down to 12th in the NBA for per 36 minutes turnover. So that's a little bit more of a friendly stat for him. Derrick Rose, per 36 turnovers, higher, actually, than Andre Drummond. He's in the top 10 at 4.4. Both these players are high usage players. We know Derrick Rose, when he's on the court, 34.3% usage percentage, and Andre Drummond at 23.8%, really big for a center. The narrative before was that, you know, Andre Drummond was asked to be doing so much because Blake Griffin's not out there. He's the hub of the offense. So it made sense to a relative extent that the turnovers were so high, and you have to give Andre Drummond some credit for a lot of the playmaking that was happening with Blake Griffin that when he was out. But obviously now worth monitoring, now that Blake Griffin is back with a tremendously high usage percentage when he's on the court, that he's taking a lot of the offensive load off of Andre Drummond, 31.7% of a usage percentage, which is in the 98th percentile for bigs, according to cleaningtheglass.com. So will Andre Drummond continue with the turnovers? And I could stick like the dumb fouls and the turnover, a lot of the dumb turnovers, not all turnovers are dumb ones, obviously. Stick them kind of into that boner category. Maybe I'll make up a stat for those types of dumb fouls and dumb shots and turnovers that all players make at times. But, yeah, obviously dribbling the ball up the court with 2 minutes left, it's inexcusable. Should Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin have walked over to him and said, hey, Terry Rozier's right in front of you, that guy right in front of you, watch out for him, or been more assertive about taking over the ball? I don't know. I mean, this is not a rookie. We're not talking about Sekou's first game here. We're talking about Andre Drummond in year 8. How many times has Dwayne Casey publicly called him out on this? Dwayne, frustrated after the game, obviously kind of throws Andre under the bus, says, go talk to Andre about that. I don't blame Dwayne Casey one bit. Obviously, something needs to be done to get this into Andre's head, that this needs to stop. We know that he sometimes brings it up and gets it into a dribble handoff, and the guys, the Drummond defenders, have talked about how that's been some good offense if you go per minute basis. But I believe that Dwayne Casey's talked publicly about this enough to where I think the message has been sent that Andre Drummond should not be taking the ball up the court, especially in categories like these. Maybe this will be a bit of a turning point when a literal game is probably, in part, lost because of a play like this that Rozier ends up getting an easy bucket off that. I'm sick of watching Andre make dumb plays, just like Dwayne Casey seems to be as well. There's a lot of positives with Andre. We know this. He leads the league in rebounding per game. Once again, 17.0. The next closest is Clint Capella at 14.7. That's a pretty wide margin right there. Minutes per game, he's at 17th in the league. mostly because of fouls, that it's not higher than that, 34.3 minutes per game. Got to applaud the big man for being in shape enough to do that and obviously carrying this team at times for the first six or seven games of the season, the salad days, as we refer to them at this point. And his 28.4% rebounding percentage is the best in the league, as we come to expect from Andre. The second best offensive rebound percentage in the league behind Zubac for the Clippers. A nice defensive rating, best on the team, 100.6. Andre's not the biggest problem on this team, no doubt about that. But we got to see these dumb plays turned around. We got to see a little bit more control from the big man, especially in important moments. And we'll see if that comes through. You know how I feel about Andre in the future. Wouldn't mind having him back if he takes a pretty big hometown discount at this point, especially given how centers are valued around the league and how this team could use some financial flexibility going forward, and obviously could use a lot better players around the likes of Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. But let's talk about the clutch lineup. With Blake Griffin back, I don't think Derrick Rose should be on the floor at the end of games. I think we've come to see that, you know, the high usage rate, he's got a mode, and that's just how he plays. I don't know what was drawn up. Blake Griffin, it seems like maybe after the game, was talking about how the play was to get it in Derrick Rose's hands and hopefully create something. Obviously, it all broke down completely. He didn't get into it quick enough. 7 seconds is not a lot of time anyway. And they sent a double team to him with P.J. Washington, and Derrick Rose chokes and throws a pass that the ball is traveling in the air in a pass when the buzzer goes off. So as bad as it could possibly get in that respect, we saw the same type of thing happen at Charlotte earlier this year when Derrick Rose throws it into the stands with the game on the line. And a jump, you know, a play that you get taught in junior high not to make, jump to pass, like we know that Derrick Rose has made a habit out of. To me, it's get Blake the ball, let him run point guard, and get Derrick Rose out of the game. Get Langston out there, get Tony Snell, Luke Kennard, guys like that. Bruce, if you're not subbing offense for defense. And Andre Drummond, of course, out there as well. Don't put Reggie Jackson back out there when he comes back. That's kind of more of the same. I know in 15-16, that season, Reggie's best season as a pro, he was clutch, very good down the stretch. But since then has put up some of the worst numbers in the league in terms of clutch statistics, and I've had enough of that. So to me, it's Blake Griffin's team. We know he's obviously the best offensive player in this group, and when he's healthy, got to have him out there. Derrick Rose as a creator in the clutch, I'm done with it. But, you know, again, if it's one of those games that Blake's out and this is the balancing act that Dwayne Casey and the Pistons are going to have to keep doing the rest of the season, man, the more and more I talk about these lineups and these sitting Blake and all the stuff that's going to be happening the rest of this year, just a down perspective, a down arrow talking about this team. Again, you know, listen to some of the podcasts talking about the league-wide awards through 20 games or wherever we're at right now. You know, no mentions of the Pistons. Derrick Rose was mentioned as a sixth man of the year candidate, not as a real candidate, but as a guy who, if he had played more, could be on the fringes of the discussion. But in terms of even more categories that could be talked about, you know, MVP, All-NBA, Andre Drummond was talked about as kind of a throwaway, not realistic, but some guy we should mention as a All-NBA third team type of center. Again, not given that award, but just kind of thrown into the discussion. There's just not a lot of things that are interesting about the Pistons right now. And if you're one of those guys who thinks that they should have blown this up for a few years now, not incorrect, I would say, to have that opinion like the 97-1 guys do and all that stuff. But we're coming around to it here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And I think that you guys are as well. I think that you guys are kind of with it. Got a call from Breeshin that we'll play sometime in the next few days about that as well. So, you know, it's bleak right now, even with Blake. Bleak even with Blake. And, you know, big changes need to be made here in 2020. And I look forward to seeing what they do and what the machinations of different trades could look like and what it could signal for the future of this franchise. Because, man, if you keep Blake Griffin going into the offseason and re-sign Andre Drummond for $100 million, or $120 million over 4 years or something like that. Wow. Not a lot to be excited about there. But something to be excited about during your traveling and holiday seasons and all that good stuff is Audible. Has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook. I promise you'll find one you'll like. And two Audible originals, absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. And if you're listening to this on the go, you can't get to Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Lockdown sponsors on this Black Friday. Perfect time to just check that out. Knock off probably half your shopping list there. And that's at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Check that out. Use our offer codes. You're supporting us. You're supporting independent podcasting. Check it out on my Twitter feeds that we've got an investment was made in the Lockdown Podcast Network. Very excited about that. And we're growing, but we need your help here on the Lockdown Pistons Podcast. Coming up, we're going to talk about the weekend. Charlotte and San Antonio coming to town. That's next here on the Lockdown Pistons Podcast, which is a proud member of the Lockdown Network, your team every day. All right, let's talk briefly about the Charlotte Hornets. You know all about them. They're bad, but they will still probably beat the Pistons. The Pistons killers, although Detroit coming into tonight, 7.5-point favorites. Hard to believe as the winning streak is up to 8 for Charlotte against the Pistons. Unbelievable. Cody Zeller and Malik Monk still hobbled. They are listed as probable on last night's injury report. We'll see if that changes throughout the day. That was the same case for those guys the other day. Zeller did not play on Wednesday night, and Malik Monk did play 17 minutes. But going into Sunday, the Spurs coming to town, 6-13 entering tonight's game all against the Clippers at home for them. That 6-13 mark, a half game worse than your Detroit Pistons. Unbelievable. They recently snapped an 8-game losing streak with a win against the Knicks, but even despite that, still have lost 10 of their last 11, 12 of their last 14. Heading into tonight's game, like against the Clippers, as I mentioned, so you could probably add another loss to them heading into Sunday, most likely. Their injury report tonight is clean, pretty much, going into this one. Keldon Johnson being played in the G League right now, so he is not with the Spurs. Good to see another team kind of doing the Sekou treatment with a young prospect there. Good for the G League. The Spurs have a bunch of bit guys from this draft, rookies that Kai was kind of interested in as far as the Pistons picking up as non-drafted free agents or maybe second-round guys. Luka Samanić, he was a late first-round pick for them, a guy that really impressed at the combine when I was at there. Chimezie Metu out of USC. Quindary Weatherspoon out of Mississippi State, one of those guys that worked out like 15 times for the Pistons. It seemed like maybe he had an apartment in Auburn Hills during all that. All those guys are with the Austin Spurs, so I'd be interested to see what those guys have looked like so far. Patty Mills is banged up, but he is available. He's expected to play tonight for the Spurs against the Clippers. But the big story with the Spurs right now, DeMar DeRozan, he's taken the three-point shooting to kind of like a comically low level, a mild form of protest possibly from him and Greg Popovich, really trying to make a point here. He is 0 for 4 on three-pointers total the entire season so far. I mean, two seasons ago, his last season in Toronto, he was a 31% three-point shooter on decent volume. So it's in there. Certainly if he was reunited with Dwayne Casey, you'd think that Dwayne would want him, maybe mandate him to let it fly a little bit. But a strange thing that DeMar DeRozan has just turned off the three-point shooting completely. Derek White with the big playoffs last year, we know about him. Matching up against Denver, not really making it happen so far this season. DeJounte Murray's working his way back. He got an extension this offseason coming off of the ACL tear. Missed all of last year. The shooting is non-existent for him right now. A team that just is a little bit stuck in the last decade of NBA basketball. Greg Popovich just kind of, and R.C. Buford just kind of sticking to their guns a little bit, which I admire, but obviously it's not happening right now for this team and this franchise. A game that the Pistons should win on Sunday, which is weird to say, talking about the San Antonio Spurs over the last few decades. They've still got LaMarcus Aldridge, although he is aging. Rudy Gay comes off the bench for them. He re-signed. Bryn Forbes out of Michigan State, we know. Lonnie Walker, a young guy who missed most of last year and is basically in his rookie season for the Spurs. I don't hate the young pieces as much as some others might with this franchise. I think that this team is some shrewd moves away from getting back on track. Probably got to move on from Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan going into next season, but there's probably going to be opportunities to do that, some of which could involve the Detroit Pistons or even the Toronto Raptors or maybe a team like the Orlando Magic for DeMar DeRozan here in these next few months. But I like their young talent in San Antonio more than Detroit's, to be honest. Although we know that the West is a whole nother animal, a higher hill to climb to get back to relevancy for the San Antonio Spurs and Detroit Pistons. Think about 2005, man. Seven-game NBA Finals and the sustained success that the San Antonio Spurs have had since then up until the struggles of this season. Meanwhile, we know what's happened with the sad and just pathetic Detroit Pistons since that time. But that'll do it for the show. Thanks for all your support throughout the month of November. It's going to end up being possibly our second biggest month of all time. Probably going to settle into third, though, unless you guys come through with all sorts of crazy old downloads and all that stuff over these next couple days. But we'll be back on Monday breaking down the Spurs and the Pistons, looking back on the weekend, looking ahead as well to a December that, hey, it's the holidays, so let's not be too down about this team. And we'll try to right the ship and try to figure out what this franchise should do going forward, also looking at some other fun elements, get away from this year's team and this year's struggles a little bit as we go forward, and look ahead to a nice 2020 for this franchise and for all of us and all you at the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks, you guys, for listening. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.